This is a beautiful parsha. Okay, we have a beautiful parsha this week. Parshas Vayishlach, a lot of Yisoides. A lot of Yisoides and Yadus. It's a long parsha, a complicated parsha. Parsha begins, also the parsha Chazal tell us, is Maisa Avos Simin Levon. We relate to this parsha, unfortunately, more than many other parshas, because this parsha deals with... Okay, this parsha deals with the relationship between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov, the fear of harm that Esav will inflict upon Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu prepares how to deal with Esav. Yaakov Avinu here prepares how to deal with Esav by doing three things. A doyroin, the first thing is a present, the second thing is tefillah, and the third thing is milchama. I always found that just to start, this is not the point I wanted to make. Okay, but question always bothered me, but there's a small point, and that is why this order. Rashi says that when Yaakov Avinu Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Leisav Achiv, he elaborates it with a very, very elaborate gift. And then Yaakov Avinu, he prays, he davens. And the third thing is he prepares for war. Why in this order? Good from Jew, the first thing you do is you daven. Why is the order first a gift, number two prayer, number three to prepare for war? The order should first pray to daven to Hashem, and then you do your hishtadlus. What is the hishtadlus? A gift, okay, diplomacy. And if diplomacy does not work, the military option is on the table. All of that should take place after one does he prepares himself spiritually by davening. So why is it in the order? So I don't have a good answer. One answer, I think there's a little kernel of truth in this. When a person just davens abstractly, it's not much of a davening. Okay, when the person davens abstractly, you come, okay, we have a problem. Everyone is a kol koire. Everyone, they put a big site. All of the yeshivas should go to this yeshiva, and we're going to have a big davening. We'll go to mass, we're going to daven to Hashem. And after the davening is over, okay, now let's prepare. The davening is not a real davening. In order for a person to daven, to feel the pain, to feel the seriousness of the issue, the matter, it can only be after he already has done something. He's already recognizes that this is a real danger. Yaakov Avinu, he first gives to Esav a very elaborate gift, and now he davens. Certainly, the prayer to Hashem of davening was much, much more intense. Now that he already had to pay out millions of dollars to give his brother Esav, I feel the pain. My bank accounts have been depleted. I have no money left. I gave all the money as a bribe, as a gift, whatever it is. Now, okay, it's time to daven. Boy, am I going to daven, because I feel the pain. If I'm first going to daven, so when I'm davening, do I feel any pain at this moment in time? I know that in my mind, I am planning to give a gift. I know it's going to cost me a lot of money. But right now, I have not yet given the gift. Now, at this moment in time, the money is in the bank. So the davening is not nearly as intense. There's a lot of precision and mussar here in the Seder Hadra. Maisa of a similar bonding is not just that Yaakov Avinu, he did three things. He gave a gift, and he davened, and he prepared for Muhammad. Part of the lesson to learn from Maisa of a similar bonding is the Seder Hadra. Immediately, you have a problem, the first thing is not to daven. That's not the first thing to do. We have an issue in Klal Yisrael, there's an issue, something is going on in the community, okay? We are disturbed. It's not an answer when you have an issue in Klal Yisrael, okay, put up a big sign, put up a big sign, everyone, Kol Kari, come to this event, come, we're going to have a demonstration, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. That's not the correct thing to do. Because if you're going to do that, no one really is going to daven with a full heart. If there's an issue, the first thing is do something. Hishtadlus. Do something. Okay, but there they were in the process of leaving. Okay, I have to study each thing separately. So whenever there's an issue in Klal Yisrael, we have to learn. The first thing is do something. Every single person that is going to suffer from the consequences of what is about to happen should not sit around and do nothing, should be actively involved in doing something. And after they've done their hishtadlus, whether it's minor, whether it's major, now is the time, a kol kore, shalom alech, Dr. Fruchter, good to see you. Now it's time for there to be a kol kore. Everyone should get together and daven, because now you feel the pain. Now it's real. Yeah,
I think Mordechai is a good example of that. When he gets, you know, when he realized what the crisis is, gets to the street, puts on sakva afer,
okay,
lets everybody know. That's an action.
Okay.
He davens that
afterwards. Lech kinois is kol ha-yehudim. Okay.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, so the parsha ended off by eight says, Vayivku bo malach Elohim. So he sees over here, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim, the malachim came, maybe he at this point in time was assuming God came, sent malachim to escort him, so he felt relieved. But when the Malachim came back and said, "Vinei Lekroso, Ve'Abramei Osishimo," they're coming, he's marching with 400 soldiers, then it makes him nervous. Now it's time to do, you know, now it's time to daven, because the Malachim are not here, maybe, to protect me.
Okay, you're saying another answer. You're saying a different approach.
Yeah.
You're saying that he did not feel the sakana until later on. Okay, that's another mahalach. Okay, that's another mahalach. Okay.
If you're misfollowed, was a more basic thing. Then you do ishtadlus after the tefillah. That means you're saying, I don't have enough emuna on the tefillah that I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do what has to be done. But if you do your ishtadlus first.
Okay, you're saying another approach. Okay.
It says, "Ki tikrav el ir leilachem aleha vekarata eleha lishalom." First, try to make peace. If it doesn't work, go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
No, it doesn't say go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says go to war.
Yeah.
It doesn't,
but the first one, you call for peace.
But that, dear, it's not telling us where in that situation is the moment to be mispalel. It just talks general. General, you have to be peaceful, and if that is wrong. But it's not telling us to say the hadram. Where in this event, the sequence of event, do you have a kol kore? Everyone should daven. You have an issue. He realizes he's now going to encounter. He's coming back home. When he's going to come back home, the reason why he left was because his life was threatened. Nothing has changed. He wants to kill him. What's going to happen? So he has to make a plan. So what is the plan? Right away, there's going to be a gift, there's going to be prayer, there's going to be a preparation for war. Why in this order? So everyone here is saying another idea. I'm just suggesting is that it's not the right thing to daven right away because the tefillah is wasted. The tefillah is not a sincere tefillah. You have to be involved. When you're involved, you do the hishtadlus. Anyway, you have to do hishtadlus. Anyway, that's a requirement. Because you can't mean samech alanes. So start the hishtadlus. Because only when you start the hishtadlus are you then going to really appreciate how much you need Hashem to help you. And now the tefillah will be sincere, will be with greater intensity. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have over here a very interesting rash, a very interesting pasuk. Yaakov Avinu, in his prayer, he says as follows, Vayomer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avraham, Velokei Avi Yitzchok, Hashem Hoimer Elai Shuvli Artzecho Ulamolad Techo V'Yetiva Imach. We have over here a complex prayer. Rashi picks up on this pasuk and he begins to dissect it piece by piece. First point, there are a few points I want to make about this pasuk. The first one I want to make is why in this pasuk he contrasts the way Yaakov Avinu relates to his father here with the way he related to his father when he was in the home of Lavan. Here he calls his father Velokei Avi Yitzchak, the God of my father Yitzchak. He used the word Elokei in reference to his father.
Instead of Pachat.
Now, was his father still alive at this point in time?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Back in, Rashi points out, back in Parshas Vayetze, when he meets up with Lavan, he runs away from Lavan, Lavan overtakes him, and they make a treaty, and he says there, Lavan says what he wants to say, and Yaakov says, Elokei Avi Avraham Ufachad Yitzchak. He does not refer to his father with the term Elokei, but rather with the word Ufachad. So Rashi there, explains why. Because Yitzchak was still alive. He was alive. And even though Hashem did call him Elokei, Hashem did put his name upon Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was blind. And being that he was blind, it was as if he was dead. Sumo Choshev Kemes. So when Hashem referred to Yitzchak, Hashem said that I am the God of Yitzchak. Even though that expression is something which you would not typically do in reference to a person who is still alive, because Al Tiftachu, Hashem does not trust a living person until he dies. You never know what could happen at the very last minute. A person can turn. So to say about a person, to put Hashem, to associate Hashem's name with a living person in general is off limits. This was an exception because Yitzchak was blind. He was already Kielu, he died. But Yaakov Avinu, even though he had the green light from Hashem to do so, to say that he did not do that. He was afraid. Now it's very critical for me to read to you the words of Rashi, how Rashi explains this idea, because we have here a contradiction in our parasha, which Rashi himself alludes to. Ufachad Yitzchak. I'm reading you the Rashi over here in Parasha Svayetze, where it says that Yaakov called his father, referred to his father with the term Pachad Yitzchak instead of the term Elokei Yitzchak. Loi rotzo loimar Elokei Yitzchak. Why? She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyached shemoi al hatzadikim b'chayehem. Because Hashem does not refer to tzadikim with his own name while the tzadikim are still alive. Oh, the question is, but we find that Hashem himself did so. V'yafal pi she'omar loy be'atzmoy, b'tzeiso mi'be'er sheva, ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha v'Elokei Yitzchak, b'shvil she'kohu einov. He was blind. V'arehu kimeis. Now, here come the critical words. V'yakov, but what about Yaakov Avinu? Nisyorei loymar v'Elokei. Yaakov Avinu, even though he had the green light from Hashem to say Elokei Avi Yitzchak, was afraid. He was afraid. Nisyorei loymar ve'elokei, ve'omar, instead he said the word upachat, ufachat. What was he afraid of? What was Yaakov Avinu? Rashi here does not say. He was afraid to say, was he afraid that his father would go off the derech? Is that what it means? That's not going to happen. Because Hashem already said Eidos. Hashem already testified that he's not going anywhere. He's going to remain a tzaddik for the rest of his life because he's blind. So if Hashem says that's a fact, that's not the issue. What was he afraid of? I don't know for sure, but it would appear, I think it's a fair statement, I think the average person would say, is the Yiras Haroimimus. A person has an obligation to fear his father. Ish Imo, the Aviv Tiro. A person is required to fear their father. When you fear your father, part of that is you recognize that your father's relationship with Hashem is unique, is above and beyond your relationship with Hashem. Yaakov Avinu, out of fear for his father, it was too much for him to say Hashem's name. In fact, it was an expression of fear. Why don't we take Hashem's name in vain? How come a person doesn't just walk around the whole day and say Hashem's name? The answer is because that's part of what it says in the Torah. V'yareisam elokecha. The pasuk says that part of fearing Hashem is not to take Hashem's name in vain. Again, as Hashem Elokecha, tira, you shall fear, also Savor, you shall worship him. Uvo Sidbok, uvishmo, and in his name, uvishmo, you shall swear. You don't just say Hashem's name lightly. Saying Hashem's name, if you're going to swear in Hashem's name, it can only be done if you fear Hashem's name. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu, out of the yira of his father, and the unique relationship that his father had with Hashem, it was off limits for him to say Hashem's name in association with his father's name. Now the question is, why then in this parsha, when Yaakov Avinu, when he davens to Hashem, Vayoymer Yaakov Elokei Avi Avraham, and look at this, Veloikei Avi Yitzchak. If he was afraid to say Hashem's name together with his father's name in Parshas Vayetze, why in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach is he no longer afraid? And he says, Velokei Avi Yitzchak. And Rashi alludes, Rashi says, Velokei Avi Yitzchak, Ula Halon Hu Oimer, Ufachad Yitzchak. The Oid, Mahu Shechaz, and so Rashi's focus here is, why here did Yaakov change from Ufachad Yitzchak to Elokei Yitzchak? And then Rashi is another question, why it says Hashem. So Rashi's answer is that Yaakov Avinu is not speaking on his own. Yaakov Avinu is quoting Hashem. Rashi gives the answer to this question. Rashi is the question. Why here in Parashas Vayishlach does it say Elokei Avi Yitzchak? Whereas in Parashas Vayetze, Yaakov refers to his father with the word Upachad Yitzchak. So Rashi answers that this statement here, Vayomer Yaakov, is not Yaakov's own words. Yaakov over here is taking out the haftacha that Hashem made to him back 20 years ago. 20 years ago, when Yaakov Avinu left his home in Canaan to go to Lavan, Hashem appeared to him and Hashem said, Yaakov, do you know who I am? I am Elokei Avraham, I am Elokei Yitzchak, and I want to give you a bracha, you're going to be okay. So Yaakov here is not making an independent statement. Yaakov over here is repeating what Hashem said. It's not coming from me. And then Rashi goes on to explain what's the next part of the pasuk, which we're going to get to in a few moments. Hashem ho'imer elai. Hashem appeared to Yaakov Avinu a second time on his way back from Lavan to Eretz Yisrael. So over here, Rashi answers, Yaakov Avinu was saying to Hashem, Hashem, you gave me two blessings. You gave me a blessing when I left, and you gave me a blessing on my way when we began to return. Now I find myself in Sakana. I want to remind you, Hashem, I have here a document, and you signed on this document two blessings. A blessing you gave me when I left, and a blessing that you gave me when I returned. And therefore, make sure you are good on your word, and you protect me from the danger that I'm about to encounter. So this pasuk, Rashi concludes, is not Yaakov. Yaakov is not saying these words. He's saying these words, but they're not original. Yaakov Avinu is just quoting Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam, remember 20 years ago? Remember that time when I was traveling, I had a dream, and you appeared to me? And in the dream that you appeared to me, you said these words. Ani Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, I'm going to protect you. And Ribbono shel Olam, do you remember that a couple of weeks ago when I began to return on my travel back to Canaan, you came to me in a dream and you said to me, I will take care of you. Well, I remember, Hashem, I wrote it down, here it is, you don't forget, and now when I'm going to encounter danger, protect me. So it's not my independent statement, because if I'm the one who will talk about my father, I would never ever say the word Elokei Yitzchak. I would never do that. I am too afraid to say those words. It's not my place to say those words. And the proof is, because back in the home of Lavan, where I was crafting my own words, I was my own speechwriter, I made a statement, I did not want to say the word Elokei Yitzchak, I said Upachad Yitzchak. Okay, that's Rashi's answer. Shuto kimashmai. But I want to say a drush. Now, I don't know if this is true, and it might be disrespectful, and if it is, I stand back. But at least I want to bring out a point, and if it's not correct, I take it back. and it just started, it's just something, a point of discussion, something to discuss. And that is, in this pasuk, this prayer begins with the word, I want to suggest that these are his words. Okay? Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is Kodesh Kodashim. I am Panam Torah. I want to suggest other Mepharshim work with different approaches. I want to suggest that Yaakov Avinu here is very deliberate in crafting his own original words in this prayer. And Rashi, Yaakov here indeed is calling his father Elokei Avi Yitzchak. A few weeks ago, or 1 week ago for us, he did not want to say those words. What changed? You know what changed? Rashi there says he didn't want to say Elokei Yitzchak because he was afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid of his father. He was afraid of the sanctity, the glory, when he referred to Yitzchak. Oh, my father Yitzchak? Whew. I can't even get that. I can't get those words out of my mouth. My grandfather's name was Shmuel David. He learned by Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber's father's name was Shmuel. And when he wrote Smicha, when Rav Baruch Ber gave my grandfather Smicha, and he once sent him as a shlich to collect money. Rav Baruch Ber once sent my grandfather to collect money to bribe the Poles not to draft the Jewish boys. He sent him on a mission to raise money. So my grandfather told him that he's not going unless he writes him a letter. He must write a letter. Like you see, the shluchim come with the tzetel. I'm not going unless I have a letter from you that you have told me to go collecting money. So Rav Baruch, you're not going to believe the story. I heard this already a few times from Talmidim. Rav Baruch Ber said, I can't. I cannot, your name is Shmuel. I cannot write Shmuel on a piece of paper. The pachad of my father is so great. I can't write. I cannot write on the page that I authorized this fellow, Shmuel David, to be a collector. So my grandfather says, I'm not going. So he said, okay, I'll do it. He wrote the letter. We don't have the letter that we don't have. And when he came to write my grandfather's name, Shmuel, his hand shook. His hand shook, and on the paper, Shmuel was written in a different font than the rest of the document. He did it because he was so desperate. Then the story was he went collecting, and he went to the Ger Rebbe. Who was the Ger Rebbe at that time? I don't know. He went to the Ger Rebbe, and the Ger Rebbe, he went and he showed him the letter, and the Ger Rebbe opened up the door. People should see what's going on, and he gave my grandfather an enormous amount of money. And for whatever the standards were, that an enormous, and he did this publicly. People should see that he's giving him money. Then all the Hasidim heard, who is this guy? Who is this guy? What's going on over here? And then they made an investigation, and word went out is that he's collecting money on behalf of Baruch Ber to basically bribe the government not to draft Jewish boys into the army. And when they saw that the Rebbe gave him an enormous amount of money, if the Rebbe gives a lot of money, it must be a good cause. And everyone gave my grandfather. He came back to Rav Baruch Ber with a lot. He came back with an enormous amount of money, very successful, and the money was used to save Jewish lives. Okay, that's the story. So what do I take out of this story for our purpose? Rav Baruch Ber told my grandfather, I cannot write your name on a piece of paper, because your name is the same name as my father, and I tzitter. I'm afraid of my father. That's what Rashi says. Vayira Yaakov could not say Elokei Avi Yitzchak. It was too much. So he said Upachad Yitzchak. Here's what I want to make. What I'm saying now is not necessarily correct. Probably is not. Really, I really mean probably not. But I think there's a point. There's something here. That's why I'm saying it bothers me very much. And I leave it for you to figure out with precision what is going on. There's a very big difference here in this story. This story begins when they come back and they tell Yaakov Avinu, guess what? Your brother's on the way to greet you. You sent a gift. He took the gift, and he said, "I'll take the gift, and I'm going to kill him. I'm going to come out. I'm going to also come and meet him." The pasuk says, "Vayira Yaakov me'oid. Yaakov Avinu was terrified. Vayetzer lo. Not just an ordinary terror, it sunk, went in very deep. There's only that much fear a person has in his mind. Only that much amount of fear a person can deal with. In life, our goal is always to take our emotions and channel them in the right direction. When Yaakov was talking to Lavan, Yaakov wasn't afraid of anything. Yaakov, you see how macho Yaakov was. Vayignev Yaakov is leiv Lavan harami. He goes with his wives, he runs away. Yaakov is macho. He's not afraid of nothing. Lavan comes, you want to make trouble with me? We'll have a duel. I'll fight with you. You want to fight with me? Let's fight. You want to fight? Let's fight. I'm not afraid of you. And they talk. Lavan makes a treaty, and he says, make a bris, new sign in your father's name. Oh, you want me to sign my father's name? I'm afraid of my father. I'm afraid. Yaakov, as a person, was not afraid of anything. When he related to his father, he was able to take the midah of Yira and channel it to Yira Shemayim. But when a person is in a matziv where they are afraid for their own life, when you're afraid for your own life, Vayira Yaakov me'oid vayetzer lo, you've already spent your life savings of fear on yourself. There's nothing left for me to spend on you. If I take my life savings and I spend it on myself, I can't give to tzedakah. I can't be a philanthropist because I used it up. Wealth is limited. Now this is my dilemma. Is Yira also an asset that's limited? Can a person have infinite Yira? I have Yira for you, I have Yira for you, and I have Yira for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I have Yira for myself. Or is there such a principle in the mind where that when you spend an asset of emotion on an individual, it's spent up. It's not available for something else. Now, you would assume not. Comes to love. People, they love their children. Enormous love for their children, the grandchildren. And they're able to use that as a tool to channel it to love Hashem. There's definitely truth to that. But there's also definitely truth to the fact that when you're very much involved, see, that example of your children is not really yourself. It's someone else. You're giving to someone else. But when a person is consumed in himself, more often than not, you don't have the ability, you spend your assets, you don't have the ability to give to others. People don't give. How come people who have a lot of money don't give money to tzedakah? They don't want to give away their money for the tzibur. It's because I need it for myself. I need it for myself. I also have to live. I have to survive. I have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I want to leave it over for my family. If I'm taking it for myself, I can't give it to you. I'm sorry. My priority is my family, not you. My priority is me. My family is me. Here's my dilemma. Yaakov Avinu here, the Torah testifies, is in a very unique situation. Vayira Yaakov me'oid vayetzer lo. Yaakov Avinu is dealing with the emotion of fear. And that fear is all about himself. It's a pasuk. It's all about himself. He's afraid he'll kill, he will be killed. Rashi says he will die. And he's afraid that he'll kill other people. A consequence for himself. If I am so worked up in spending Yira on myself, now when I have to dive into Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, you are the God of Avraham, you are the God of Yitzchak. How come you're not afraid to say Elokei Yitzchak? How come it's not so hard for you to say Elokei Yitzchak? You know why? Because I spent it. I spent all my Yira money on myself. There's nothing left. So I don't have that yiras haroi mimus that I had back in Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov is macho man. Okay, nothing, no problems. The world, everything is fine and good. So now, when I want to go and invest in Yira Shamayim, is a place for it to be chal upon. I'm going to give my money for this organization, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. But in this parasha, Yaakov Avinu is in trauma. He's in a matzav of trauma. I'm not saying that. The pasuk says it. Can't ignore the fact. Don't make light of the Pshuto Shel Mikra, Vayira Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzelo. This is a very, very powerful statement. Yaakov Avinu was in a matzav where he was consumed with pachat. Now, he has to go and channel that pachad. Now it comes to his father. We find here he's not behaving, he's not acting the way he behaved before. Now, can I say, what I'm saying, is this a nice thing to say? I don't mean it as a negative thing. It's a mitzius. It's a reality in this world. It's not an insult, chas v'sholem, to the Ovos HaKadoshim, who we don't even begin to fathom the dust of their toes. It's a reality of life. Reality of life is, if you go and you spend the money on yourself, you don't have money to go give to tzedakah. Last year I gave an organization $1,000. That's because I had enough for myself. This year I don't have what to eat. I can't go give you $1,000. It's a reality. A person only has that much yira, and when you're going and you're consuming the yira on yourself for good reason, that's the way the world is. I can't go say pachad yitzchak. I'm saying now, they'll okay yitzchak. Hey, I don't know if this is true or not. Let me think about it. If this idea indeed is true, it gives me a whole new appreciation of this term called Pachad Yitzchak. Okay, this is a very popular term, not just in Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin of Yitzchak Kuttner, he named his very popular sefer called Pachad Yitzchak. And in Eretz Yisrael, he built a yeshiva called Pachad Yitzchak. But that's not the only Pachad Yitzchak. It's a very popular term. There's a sefer that's called, they always call the real Pachad Yitzchak. There's an ancient sefer, it's like an encyclopedia. It's like an encyclopedia. I don't know the name of the person, Pachad Yitzchak. Many organizations, people have nothing with Chaim Berlin, they're very taken by this term called Pachad Yitzchak. If this idea is true, it opens up a whole new appreciation of what a Pachad Yitzchak really means, what this concept, this term means. It means an ideal situation. Life is not, most of life are not, is we deal with things that are not ideal. We deal with, most of the time we're dealing with bidiyevets. The whole life is a bidiyevet. Everything you do in life, most of the time it's only a bidiyevet because I'm tied down to my family. Not everyone can hold by high standards. So I have to, you have to cut corners, you have to be accommodating. And when you're accommodating, that means you have to do things which are only bidiyevet. I want to daven, make zman kriyashma every Shabbos, which means I want to daven at the 8 o'clock minyan. But I have children, and my children can't make it every morning, every Shabbos, to an 8 o'clock minyan. So when are we going to daven? We're going to daven at the 9 o'clock minyan. Oh, but the 9 o'clock minyan doesn't make zman kriyashma bizman, and you have to say it before. So that's only b'di'evet. The proper thing is to say Kriya Shema with the brachos together. Okay, so it's b'di'evet. So I don't have a choice because I have children. What's the choice? The children should not daven? What are you out of your mind? The whole life is about b'di'evets. But occasionally a person has an opportunity to do something l'chatchila. The term upachad yitzchak, it cannot be understood in a vacuum. If you just take the term Pachad Yitzchak, no, it's a very nice term, very nice, very nice. I'm afraid, my father Yitzchak has a very unique relationship with Hashem. Saying Hashem's name in vain is a very great sin. And when I think about my father's relationship with Hashem, it's mind-boggling. He was the Akedah. He went on the Akedah, he was a Karban. The way he looked at Hashem, Elokei Yitzchak, I faint thinking about it. I'm not going to just say Hashem's name. I'm going to say Ufachad Yitzchak instead of saying Elokei Yitzchak. It's a very nice idea. What else is new? But when now you go to Parashas Vayishlach and Yaakov Avinu Nochamol, he says Elokei Yitzchak. He says Elokei Yitzchak. So look, Yitzchak said both. He said, what is the ideal? Is the ideal the Pachad Yitzchak, or is the ideal the Elokei Yitzchak? Look at the situation. The reason why he said Elokei Yitzchak was because it was not an ideal situation. He was in a very difficult matzav. Vayira Yaakov me'oid vayetzer loy. He was in a very difficult situation. So now, when you're in a difficult situation, the best I can do now is to say Elokei Yitzchak. In contrast to when he was dealing with Lavan, when he was in an ideal situation, where he was at the upper hand, and there he can say, Ufachad Yitzchak. So whenever you hear the term Ufachad Yitzchak, you know what it really means? It means to serve Hashem Lichatchila. The environment, the situation is taken care of. All of your needs are taken care of. And now let's get down to business and devote our resources fully and wholly to the cause. Elokei Yitzchak. And that, so that fits very well with Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner, when his yeshiva, a lot of the Gedolei Yisrael, they all strived when they came to America, if you notice, to create institutions of lichatchila. Okay, there was a lot of bidyevet. That was really the major theme of what the Gedolei Yisrael, the survivors of the Holocaust, established when they came to America. They came to America. There was Yiddishkeit in America. Can't say there wasn't. There was plenty of yeshivas. When they came to America in 1945, 44, 45, 46, there was Yiddishkeit. There were yeshivas. There was kosher food. America was, everything was going on. There was plenty going on since the beginning of the 20th century. Things began slowly, little by little. Before that, obviously, it was extremely difficult. Millions were lost due to assimilation. But by 1945, there was already an established America. There was already Yiddishkeit was pretty much established. So what did all the Gedolim have to offer? What did they come to offer? Well, it's clear. What they had to offer was, it's very good, but everything here is a very big bidyevet. We can do a lot better. The Satmar Rav said Beferish. A lot of time when they criticized him, he said, I'm a lichatchila dika yid, something along those lines. I want lichatchilas. I don't want bidyevets. I want to establish a lichatchila. And all the gedolim, to a very large degree, were the same thing. Everything, there's Yiddishkeit, but let's bring the standards up higher. The difference Yaakov Avinu twice in his life addressed the Ribbono Shel Olam referring to his father, by Lavan and by Esav. By Lavan he said, Ufachad Yitzchak. By Esav he said, Elokei Yitzchak. Rashi seems to clearly tell us to say the term Ufachad Yitzchak is much higher, is much greater than saying Elokei Yitzchak from the perspective of Yaakov. It means that Yaakov Avinu is in a state of reverence for his father and his father's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elokei Yitzchak does not express that reverence. And there are answers. Rashi gives a simple answer that Yaakov is not original. He's quoting Hashem. But if you want to go with the approach that Yaakov Avinu is himself actually saying these words, there is good reason why he's not saying Ufachad Yitzchak the second time around. That's because he's not in an ideal state. His frame of mind is such where he's in the matzav of sakana of Vayira Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzer Loi. When you're running for your life, the last thing you're thinking about is, did I tie my shoelace, to put the shoelace on, the right foot first, the left foot first? Those things are the first things, that's not what you're thinking about, the hidurim, the lechatchilas in life. You're worrying about surviving. Yaakov Avinu, the midah of yira was consumed on himself for good reason. Now, when I want to talk about religion, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. That's not an ideal situation. When you create, you try to create an institution, you try to create something in life that's a lechatchila, and you want to go take a term, it's a very interesting term because it represents the contrast, brings out the idea you should strive in life for lichatchilas. Don't always settle for bidyevets. Strive to grow, to go higher. Okay, let's go to another idea. I had another thing I want to say, but I want to move ahead. This week's parasha, the famous words of Halacha hi biyadua she'esav soine Yaakov. On the pasuk Vayishar Keil, this is a critical pasuk in Yadus. History, the whole Jewish history, the history of the Jews. Okay, the history of the Jews. Johnson, right? What was his first name?
Paul Johnson.
The whole book can be summarized in a few words of Rashi. The entire book, the history of the Jews, can be summarized in the Rashi Vayishar Keil. What does Rashi say there? Let me turn to the place. Okay, Vayis Yaakov Ragla, Vayishar Keil, Yerdats, Vayaretz, Esav Likrosa, Vayichabechev, he embraced him. Vayibal al Tzavara, Vayishar Keil, he kissed him. Vayivku, and he cried. Three things. Really, four things. He embraced him. Five things. He ran towards him. He embraced him. Vayipol, he fell on his neck. He kissed him and he cried. Okay? Five different expressions of love that Esav Harasha showed for Yaakov Avinu. Zeloi Poshut. Five unique expressions of love that Esav Harasha, who has tried to murder us throughout history, showed for Yaakov Avinu. He ran to him. That's an expression of love. He fell on his neck. He embraced him. He kissed him, and he cried. Hayitochein. Only 2 weeks ago, Rivka says to Yaakov, Yaakov, Esav wants to kill you. He wants your head.
No, 20 years ago.
I mean, when we leave the parasha, I'm thinking about how might. Okay, what happened? Ma koro. What happened? How do we go mikotze lakotze? Rashi says, Vayishokehu, pasuk dalid, nokud olav. That's not the point. Yeshcholkin bedover hazeb b'raisa. This sifrei. Okay, whatever that means over there. It's not the point I want to make. Omar Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai. This Shabbos is Lag BaOmer. Don't forget, Rashbi, Bar Yoichoi, Mashachta Ashrecha. That's what the Zmira should be for this Shabbos, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to talk about Rashbi. Because Rashbi makes the statement which captures the entire story of the Jewish history. Omar Rebbe Shimon ben Yochai, Halacha hi. In the art school, they put a comma here. I don't know why they put a comma. But they put a comma, Halacha hi, biyodua, it is known, she'esav soinei liyakov. So my high, five expressions of love, ela, shenich miru rachamav be'oisa sha'a. At that moment, his emotions were churned. The very powerful words that Rashi used, Nichmeru, Vinoshka, he kissed him, Bechol Libay, with his entire heart. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. It just says, Rashi over here is focusing only on the last thing, only on the last of the five things, on Vayishakeyu, and he adds in, how do we know this? Bechol Libay. So some want to say the other four things are an indication that the kiss was sincere. Because if you're not sincere, you wouldn't be running, you wouldn't be falling on his neck, you wouldn't embrace him, and you wouldn't be crying. The fact that he did the other four things is an indication that the kiss was sincere. The other four things you can't fake. You can't fake how you run. Isn't that interesting? You can fake a kiss. But you can't fake the other four things cannot be fake. You can't cry for nothing, even though actors do it all the time. But generally, you can't fake kissing. You can't fake crying. You can't fake an embrace. You can tell from an embrace. We all know when you embrace someone, you can tell an embrace if it's sincere or not. You can't. But kissing, you can fake it. I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. But over here it says b'chol libay. Now I want to dwell upon the first thing is a basic insight is in the history of the Jews we find ups and downs. we find the most horrific persecution, expulsions, the Khmelnytsky massacres, the Holocaust, the Inquisition, the czars of Russia, all the decrees, blood libels, unfair taxation. Jews were blamed for literally every problem that ever exists on this world they suffered for. Okay, the list goes on and on. But yet, in between these horrific eras, there were some good times as well. And the Goyim were very good to us. They were very good to us. Okay, today, Baruch Hashem, Medina Shel Chesed. So how do we explain this contradiction? Rashi here says it all. The truth is, halacha hi biyadua, in the core of the soul of Esav, is a deep hatred for us. Any tekufa of Jewish, that's the norm. Jewish history by default is persecution. That's the backdrop to Jewish history. The backdrop of the history of the Jews is the background, the backdrop, the layer that goes on the bottom is hatred, deep-rooted hatred. Now when you put some little things on your layer, whatever it is, on your design, other elements that seem to be good, it's a moment. It's a blink. It's there are good events. Okay, that's the general insight. Now, that's not the point I really want to make. I want to dwell upon these very bizarre words. Halacha hik arshaputzakama biyadua. She'esav soine Yaakov. Let's make believe there is no kama, because who says the kama even belongs there? That's just for a convention. What in the world does this expression really mean? Halacha hi biyadua. No one in this room would concoct an expression like that. If you want to say to me that Esav has a deep-seated hatred for the Jewish people, you would say, I don't know what you would say, but you wouldn't take three words and pull them out of a hat and come up with this expression, halacha hi biyadua. What is this? A magic?
And the validity of halacha. Like every day you put on tefillin, you know.
Okay, so you're saying it's a halacha. It's a lumdus. It's a lumdus. Brisk alumnus, they have to hate us. Svei dinim in hatred. As like this, then there's a spin-off. Another level. Then there's, what's the word he? What's biyadua? What's going on? So I want to say a drush. A drush. And this drush really is the subject of discussion. People have gotten PhDs, postdoctorates in this topic of why indeed do they hate us? Why do the Jews hate us? And okay, terrible, terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Erase that. Delete that from the tape. Why do the Goyim hate us? There have been so many symposiums, conferences, there have been papers delivered, and there's been, you name it, whatever you want to go say, there's been studies, there's been courses in colleges, there's been sfarim written, there have been shiurim given, you name it. It's a massive topic, trying to go to the depths of the human mind to understand what is the root cause of anti-Semitism. Where does it come from? And there are many, many reasons. We all know that, and it's extremely complicated. Different cultures, different societies. There's no one answer which explains everything. You'll say it's jealousy. You'll say it goes back to it's in the genes. It's spiritual. I don't know. You have a lot of answers. A lot of people like to say it's jealousy. In America, it's more about jealousy than anything else. Maybe you're right. Whatever. Chazal over here, obviously, very bothered with this question. And I want to say a drush is that they're saying it can all be broken down into three reasons. You know why they hate us? Number one, it's halacha. Number two, you know why they hate us? Because of he. And you know why else they hate us? It's because it's biyadua. Now, what are those three words? These are code words. You have to hear me out. It's drush. Okay, that could be total nonsense. Halacha, what does halacha normally mean in Shas? Halacha l'moshe misinai. Every time you learn the Gemara, and the Gemara, there's no rhyme or reason. There are things that we do that have absolutely no logic behind it. And the Gemara is baffled. Why is this so? What's the logic? Is this part of the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes? The Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes, to a certain degree, has some logic behind it. And often the Gemara says, no, don't go down that avenue. You know why you do this? It is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That's how it is. Ki loy machshavoysai machshavoyseichem. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah. He put into this world the halachos, mitzvahs, which are divine. You'll never understand. Don't even try to understand why a guy hates a Jew. Don't even try. It's divine. This is the way Hashem made the world. It's not because they're jealous. Not because we took away something that they were entitled to take. Not because. It's something spiritual. They realize that they have nothing. Halacha. It's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It's a reality of life. It has no logic. It's a divine principle that's built into Teva, that Yaakov Avinu is hated by Esav. Okay, it's not very sad, but the truth is, more often than not, all the big chachamim who deal with this, the fact that they're dealing with this, and it is such a popular topic, obviously is an acknowledgement that there really is no good answer. The answer that you're going to give may work for a certain period of time. It may work for a certain era. But it doesn't work for this era. It doesn't explain what happened this week. These so-called, I don't even know what you want to call these people. Whatever they, how do you explain? What do they have against us? Well, they think they're the Jews. They're the real Jews.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. It doesn't make any sense. There is such a principle. Next, he. What is he? So I want to say a chiddush based upon a medrash. Who was Leah supposed to marry?
Esav.
There was an older brother, an older boy, older girl. The older goes to the older, the younger goes to the younger. When Yaakov, the medrash really, why did it a hashgacha process make it come about that Yaakov Avinu indeed married Leah as well as Rachel? It's because since Yaakov purchased fair and square the Bechorah from Esav, so Yaakov Avinu is now the Bechor. With him being the Bechor, he's entitled to marry Leah. This is the Medrash. This is now his entitlement. Now, even though he didn't want to do that, whatever the situation was, he didn't want to do that, but the Hashgacha Pratis made it come about that he ended up marrying Leah because he's now the Bechor. Whatever was supposed to go to Esav now goes to Yaakov. So from Leah would come the Shiftei Kos, half of Klal Yisrael comes from Leah. So obviously Leah is not a simple person. In Leah's genes lie, she's the mother of Klal Yisrael. I mean, this is not real who Leah was. Could you imagine if Esav would have married Leah? Could you imagine had that talent, had that power gone down to Esav? And who lost it? Esav lost. Who did it go to? It went to Yaakov. Where in the Torah did the Torah reveal this information? Yaakov Avinu vayehi v'aboker v'hinei Leah hi. V'hinei hi. V'hinei hi. Leah. When the one that was the most shocked was not Yaakov, Esav. Yaakov, what did you do to me? V'lamar mi sonny, you gave me Leah, what did you do to me? I gotta now support another wife. The one that really was hurt was Esav. This is my wife. Leah's mine. The koichos hanefesh that are in Leah that would produce Klal Yisrael could have been channeled to me. Do you know what I could have had in this world? You're a ganav. You took away my wife. There's no battles in this world like there are over women. Every day you hear a story on the radio. This guy shot him. Why? It's always about a girlfriend. Right? 10-10 wins. You can summarize half of the news on the radio. Boyfriend, girlfriend, bang, 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 dead, dead, dead. It's always the same story. Boyfriend, girlfriend stories. That's what happened. You took away my girlfriend. You took away my wife. V'hinei hi Leah. That's the second reason why there's anti-Semitism. It's because the hatred you have what belongs to me. Esav looks at Yaakov Avinu, they see success, maybe this is the jealousy element. They see the success of Yaakov Avinu. You're smart, you're successful, you're powerful, you know how to get things done. Where did you get this from? Where did you get this from? From the wife. You all are the children of Leah. Six of you, six half of Klal Yisrael's Leah. Malchus comes from Leah. Malchus, unbelievable, who comes from Leah. Vihine, what? Kahuna. Vihine, he, Leah. Excuse me, that's my wife. And now, vahi vaboyker, vihine, he, Leah. So we have two. Halacha, don't even try to find the reason. There's something divine. Ki loy machshevoisei machshevoiseichem. Number two, he Leah, jealousy. We have the success that's really all captured in the wife, in the children, and the whole legacy of Klal Yisrael is all rooted in Leah. They're jealous of us. They feel that we've taken from them what belongs to them. And the last one is biyodua. That word is a very powerful, simple word. The bris bein habisodim. Yodoya teda ki ger yihye zaracha bi'eretz loy lohem. No one likes an unwanted guest. Okay, you have a guest, comes to Shabbos, you can't wait to get rid of him, right? I'm staying until Sunday morning. I can't leave until Shabbos. Oh no, I got to feed you breakfast also. Schlep you around with me another day. Right? No one likes an unwanted guest. Klal Yisrael is not wanted in this world because we don't belong here. Our place is where we belong in Eretz Yisrael. That's where we belong. Hashem made Eretz Yisrael, gave it to Klal Yisrael. What are we doing in America? What are we doing in Europe? What are we doing in Poland? What are we doing all over the world? We don't belong here. We got into trouble. The bris bein habasadim, where Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, Yodoya teide ki ger yeh zaracha bi'eretz lo elohem ba'avodim v'idoy yisam. It's not just for Egypt. Everyone knows that. This was just ma'isa of a similar bond. They were only for 210 years anyway. Ma'isa of a similar bond is a mashal. You're going to be in Golos. You're going to go into Golos. Your descendants are going to be in Golos for 2,000 years. And the first stop is going to be Mitzrayim, the Dal of Malchios, as Rav Mechob will teach you about. All of the, but the essence of Golos is, you know what the essence of Golos is? We're ger. No one likes a guest that stays too long. The reason why they hate us is because, get out of here. What are you doing? This is our land. America is for the Indians, not for the Jews. What are you taking up space? But don't you realize if we leave here, you're gonna collapse. We pay the bills. We pay the bills. We do everything. We run the country. We own the country. It's our country, right? Yeah. You're right. You pay the bills, you own the country, but guess what? It's still not your country. It's our country. You're an unwanted guest. That's the third element of why they hate us. So Rashi here, again, the history of the Jews is captured in this Rashi. We have, it's a powerful pasuk, five expressions of love. In history, the goyim have been good to us occasionally. Rashi says, yeah, occasionally. The backdrop is halacha hi biyadua. Rashi is giving us three words out of nowhere. We don't think about this. These three words, it's a concoction, hocus pocus. Where do you put these three words together? Each word is mirames on major yesoidos of yadus that comes to explain why the goyim hate us. Maybe you want to say halacha means more. We have the Torah. Chazal actually say that. Halacha means halacha l'moshe misinai. What happened at Sinai? Hashem gave us the Torah and not them. And Hashem established a unique bond between us, a special relationship. Chazal said, why is it called Har Sinai? Sinai, Al Tikrei Sinai with a samach. Instead, read it with a sin. From there went out hatred to Klal Yisrael because the goyim hate us. They're jealous of us. That our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ruchnius is unique. Halacha, the Ruchnius uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, the jealousy they have from us. He, the Gashmius relationship. The Hinei, he Leah, we have what they really should have had, Hileya. And the third reason is because we're an unwanted guest who has stayed a little bit too long. And no one likes that. And that creates an animosity, an uncomfortableness. Get out of here already. They know better than we know that we don't belong here. We belong in Eretz Yisrael, and it irritates them. America is not for the Jews. Eretz Yisrael is where a Jew belongs. So what are you taking up space over here? Even though we know that when you're going to leave, there'll be a Chorban over here. So what? That's because we know there'll be a Chorban. We still want you out of here because it's still our house. A person likes to live in their house, even in poverty, than having a guest who pays, who goes and does all these things for you. People don't like you. Like to have your own, no matter what your own is. They would prefer subconsciously that we get out of there because it's not our land, even if at the consequence that they will suffer. And how do I know this is right? Jewish history is full of this. Look, they expelled the Jews from every single country, even though they were shaitim. They didn't know the Jews paid the bills. They didn't know the Jews did everything for them. They knew. I can't say they're so stupid. The answer is, you know yourself. You have a guest who's in your home. And every day he comes into your home with a big breakfast and a supper. He goes to the restaurant and he brings home delicious food. And he says, hey, I bought for the whole family. And every night he puts down on the table delicious food. Wow, look at that. Free food every single night. And he buys the children clothing. For the first couple of weeks, it's a lot of fun. And then after a couple of weeks, you say to him, you know, I really like the food, the clothing, and all the benefit you bring with you when you come over here. But you know something? It's my house. I want some privacy. It's not your house. Get out of here already. Get lost. And take all your food with you. That's human nature. That's godless. That's the hatred. Biyodua. Yodoya teda. Ki ger yezarecha biyaretz lo elohem. This is the makar of godless. Okay, we'll stop over here.